الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ووهبنا لداود سليمان نعم العبد إنه أواب، إذ عرض عليه بالعشي الصافنات الجياد، فقال إني أحببت حب الخير عن ذكر ربي حتى توارت بالحجاب، ردوها علي فطفق مسحا بالسوق والأعناق. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حسن الإسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's allowed us together on such a Mubarak day. Indeed, this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the vows that Shaitan took when he was dispelled and when he was thrown out from the Mubarak auspices and the position that he had, he took a vow, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll find it such that very few will be grateful to you. So when we find opportunities to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should grab onto it. This is indeed an opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to witness such a Mubarak, great occasion, the occasion of Jumu'ah. There are many people you'd find, sometimes I go to the hospitals to give bayans, that they are in the high care or in the ICU. Their whole life they were meticulous about being early for Jumu'ah. Now they are one floor above the Musalla, but they are unable to come down. The pain that they experience of missing the Jumu'ah, only they know. And there are other people that living in remote villages, we know there's no Jumu'ah. لا جمعه ولا تشريك الا في مصر جامع. In remote villages and those places that are not built up, there is no Jumu'ah salat. So those Bedouins, those poor people, when they muster up sufficient money and they can make it to the city, that is probably the first time they get to see a Jumu'ah salat. And we in this country, in this part of this country, not only are we able to go easily for Jumu'ah salat, we got a choice of venues. That today I can go to this masjid or I can go to that masjid, I can go wherever I wish for Jumu'ah. Allah Pak has made it so easy for us. So therefore we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity. Anyway, my topic for today is a topic that some people may not like too much and others may appreciate. It's a topic that I've chosen, the harmful effects of following sport. The harmful effects of following sport. The ayat of the Quran which I've mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. We had given him, we had blessed him with a beautiful son, with a son. Allah Pak mentions, نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابُ. One of his outstanding characteristics, what he was oft, he would turn and he would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very often. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he had made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رب اغفر لي وهب لي ملكا لا ينبغي لأحد من بعدي إنك أنت الوهاب. والله سبحانه وتعالى, bless me with such a kingdom that you haven't, that is not becoming of anybody after me to have such a kingdom. We know he was the second person to rule the whole world, the entire world. The first was Sikandar Dhulqarnain, and then was Sulaiman عليه الصلاة والسلام. So Allah Pak is mentioning an incident of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ, that when his swift horses, his well-bred swift horses were brought before him for inspection. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي حَتَّى تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ. He had a certain ma'mulat. He had a certain devotional practice that he would do every day. He would not miss this devotional practice. And on this occasion, when he was inspecting these horses for jihad, which in itself is an ibadat, ulama explain that when a person is the head of any organization, whether it's a dini organization or even a business organization, he should be well acquainted with what is happening in every department. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, although having the kingdom of the whole world, he was inspecting himself these horses. So this shows that a person should be well aware in his business also, He shouldn't think that now I am the CEO, so I don't need to know what is happening in dispatch, what is happening in receiving, what is happening in debtors, creditors. I don't need to know all that. If he's an intelligent person, he'll be well aware of what is happening in every department. So here Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was aware of what was happening here. But it so happened that this preoccupied him and the sun had set. And he missed that devotional practice for that day. And because he missed that devotional practice, whatever it was, whether it was salat, whether it was tilawat, whatever ibadat he used to make at that time, he missed it. So because of that, he decided that these horses that I was inspecting was the means of me missing this ibadat. He sacrificed. Rudduha alayhi, instructed all of them to be brought. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He passed his sword over the legs, the heels, and over the necks, meaning he slaughtered all these horses. And in the Sharia of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, it was permissible, like how it is permissible for us to slaughter cattle, to slaughter sheep, etc. So it was permissible, so it wasn't anything of wastage. And he had given it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in tasawwuf, this is known as ghairat. If anything comes between a person and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that thing doesn't deserve to stay. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ansari, he had a huge orchard at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam would actually visit this orchard, and he liked the water also, sweet water that orchard had. But on one occasion, whilst he was reading salat in his orchard, then there was a bird that was fluttering because of the dense trees there. It could not find its way out. So it was fluttering and it distracted him in his salat. So immediately after salat, he decided to give that whole orchard away. Now we can imagine in the precinct of the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what that orchard must have been worth. If today's time, not hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars. But he gave it away immediately. Ask ourselves, if that cell phone rings in our pocket, or that cell phone disturbs others in salat, did any one of us think that we should give the cell phone away? It disturbed me, it distracted me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was that ta'alluq that they had with Allah. If anything came in between, immediately that thing was not worthy of keeping. So he gave it away. And we find that a great sahabi by the name of Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I just want to show you that when a person gives something up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah gives him in return. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he slaughtered these horses, these 100 horses, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. He gave this up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It distracted that communication that he had with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him in return. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ هُدُوُّهَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاحُهَا شَهْرٌ. He sacrificed horses for the sake of Allah. Allah gave him such a mode of transport that in 1 hour in the morning, approximately 1 hour in the morning or in the evening, he could travel the distance of 1 month. He could travel the distance of 1 month. All his followers, all they needed to get onto is like a deck, and that deck would just move. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the subjugation of the wind. فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابُ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغَوَّاسٍ وَآخَرِينَ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ. That whichever direction he wanted the wind to go, the wind would move. There was no need for a windsock to determine which direction the wind is blowing. Whichever direction he instructed the wind to go, it would go. So Allah Pak replaced and Allah Pak gave him because he sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Pak had given him jinnat that were divers. Kulla banna'i wa ghawas, those that could build huge projects. No need for a quantity surveyor, no need for an architect, no need for anything. He just instructed the jinnat and the jinnat would build it for him. Then he had jinnat that were divers that go under the ocean and pull out gems for him. So Allah Pak had given him all this. And وَآخَرِينَ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ. And he had the power also of imprisoning whichever jinnat he wished, those rebellious, those jinnat that would not listen. He had them fully under his control. Anyway, this is just to mention that when a person sacrifices for the sake of Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. Quickly to go on the incident of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know in the battle of Muta, that his one hand was severed, and then he took the flag and he held it with the other hand, with the left hand. And then when that hand also was severed, then with the forearms he tried to hold, with his arms he tried to hold the flag up. And then after that he was martyred and he became shaheed. He gave his hands up for the sake of Allah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace him with? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, Allah Pak had given him wings. He's flying in Jannat where he wishes, when he wishes. And the smallest jannat is 10 times the size of the earth. Can you imagine the jannat of Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He was known as Jafar al-Tayyar, the one that is flying. So a person who gives up something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what doesn't Allah Pa give him in return? So this topic that I'm talking about is sport. It's something that everyone is acquainted with. And some people might think that following sport is such a difficult thing. How can we give it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You get 3 types of thieves. You get 3 types of intruders. One is a visible intruder. You are aware of him. You can see him. And you know how to put in, to bring in interventions, controls, to circumvent this thief intruding into your home. You put in alarm system, electric fencing, barbed wire. You can put in different surveillance systems, whatever it is, but to try and prevent the thief that is visible to come in. Then you get another thief that is invisible. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person that enters his home, but he does not take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaitan mentions that adraktumul mabit, that today you found a place to lodge. Because the person came in his home, he hasn't taken the name of Allah, you can stay in this house. And at the time of eating, if a person doesn't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he tells him, adraktumul asha, you have now found a meal also. You have found food to eat. But that person that takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of entering the home, and at the time of eating, then the shaitan tells the other shaitans of his, that la mabita lakum wa la asha, there is no place for you to stay in this home, and there is no place for you to eat, there is no food here also. So there is ways of circumventing that invisible thief, that intruder, the intruder that can come and eat with you and stay in your home. All a person needs to do is take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he enters the home, and he makes it a point of taking the name of Allah when he eats. Then you get the third, but these first 2 categories, a person is aware that these are my enemies, these are thieves, they are not there to assist me, and a person takes necessary controls to circumvent and to protect himself from this. But the third type of thief is a very disastrous thief. Is that thief that a person doesn't even regard as a thief. He doesn't realize that this person is a thief. This person, he takes him to be his friend. And he's not like the first 2 thieves who will come and steal a person's money, will steal a person's worldly possessions. This third thief is stealing the most valuable thing a person can have, and that is his time. And he comes in as though it is his friend, and he'll spend his prime time with this thief, and he'll laugh, and sometimes he'll cry also with this thief, and he'll sacrifice moments with his family, he'll sacrifice his ibadat, his nafil, his Quran, his tilawat for this friend, thinking that this person is his friend. And that, my dear respected brothers, is sport. Many people follow sport. Allah Pak save us from the young age, and we don't even realize that this thief of sport is stealing our time. We are following that Premier League soccer, we are following the Champions League soccer, we are following the Test cricket for hours and hours, not realizing that this invisible thief that we have brought in the form of a television in our homes, and we are following it and watching it, this is stealing the most precious commodity Allah has given us. It is our time. And it's not just stealing time, it's stealing prime time. And it doesn't end when the match finishes. After that, a person comes to the masjid, and outside the masjid also he's talking about the score. You know, it was 3-1, it could have been 3-all, or it was 0-0. And sometimes he has to go to the masjid in between the match. Now his mind is on what the score is. If it was penalty shootouts, he doesn't know how many goals were scored, how many was not scored. This is distracting a person's ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever thought that we need to sacrifice this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is something that steals. And what is the proof that this is the most precious time? Allah Pak mentions in the Quran, hatta, the most precious thing that is time. Allah mentions in the Quran, hatta idha jaa ahadakumul maut, qala rabbi irji'un. At the time of maut, when a person has seen the ultimate of what life has got to offer, he makes a plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, send me back, la'alli a'malu salihan fima taraktu kalla. Perhaps I can do those actions that I haven't done. Perhaps I can maximize on that time that I have wasted. So a person at the climax and at the epic of seeing the whole of life, which is the time of death, he's asking for time. He's not asking for money. He's not asking for his family. He's not asking for his business, but he's asking for time to do good actions. The second proof that this time is the most valuable thing that is going is that when a person enters Jannat and he's seen everything, he's seen dunya, he's seen qabr, he's seen hashar, after seeing everything, The only regret he has in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهَا. He'll regret not about his business, not about his family, not about his wealth that he left behind, but he'll regret upon the time that he wasted without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't realize how much of our time is going. And the third proof that this is more valuable than wealth is a person that is in ICU, he's on the ventilator, hundreds of thousands are spent on him. Money is given in exchange of what? To buy back some time for this person back in the dunya. Only to buy back time. So he's sacrificing all this to get time in return. But when the time is here, he doesn't even realize that this box that I've got and I'm sitting hours in front of it and I'm following the sport, I'm wasting this valuable time. And not only that, it's stealing the time of this person. In a hadith that appears in Abu Dawud Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِذَا عُمِلَتِ الْخَطِيئَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when sin is taking place in the dunya, then كَانَ مَنْ شَهِدَهَا فَكَرِهَهَا كَانَ كَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا. That person who is present, but he dislike what he's seeing around him. For example, if the World Cup is taking place now in South Africa, and a person is not happy about it, but he's present here because he stays here, he has no choice. فَكَرِهَهَا, he dislikes it. كَانَ كَمَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا, it's as though he's not present. Allah Pak saves him from the evil of being present. But the next part of the hadith, مَنْ غَابَ عَنْهَا فَرَضِيَ عَنْهَا كَانَ كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. That person who is not there, he's not in Europe where the Champions League is taking place, where the Premier League is taking place, he's in South Africa, but he's watching it and he's happy about what's happening. كَانَ كَمَنْ شَهِدَهَا, it's as though he is there in the match. It's as though he is present. All that sharab and kebab and music and intermingling that is taking place, this person is part and parcel of everything that is taking place. Why he's happy about it? He's not unhappy about it. So, respected elders and brothers, these moments Allah Pak have given us is something very, very valuable. So, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave up his hands, what Allah Pak had given him in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him wings. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Allah Pak tested him. This dunya of ours that Allah Pak sent us is a test to see how we utilize that time, that abilities, that isti'adad to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Pak said, we also put him through a test. And he also sacrificed something and what we gave him in return. The point of what I'm mentioning, respected friends, it is something not easy. It is something difficult. Today you find, not only in the, previously it was the person in high school, nearly every second high school student, their pastime was talking about the soccer matches, talking about this team and that team. If you were to ask any student how many soccer players' names he knew, he will rattle many, many soccer players. Ask him how many names of Sahaba you know. Very few, he'll battle and scratch his head. He don't know any name of Sahaba. But now this epidemic has not only hit high school children, forget high school children, even primary school children, the only things on their tongue is soccer, is cricket, the names of players, as though this is preoccupying valuable time and prime time. The time of a young person is much more valuable than an old person. But this scourge and epidemic has even hit old people. That's why in Urdu, a very nice saying that, Bachpan aagaya lekin bachpan nahi gaya. A person has reached the age of 55, but his youth, his childhood hasn't left him. Those things that children are expected to do, to follow that soccer, to follow that cricket, to follow sport, and to waste wild time away against this, even this old man is doing it. It can happen such, and happen such, that a person has a huge heart attack. Allah Pak saves him, Allah Pak gives him an extension in life. Now he's lying in the hospital bed, and he's enjoying that soccer match and that cricket match, as though these extra moments Allah Pak has given him is to waste it away. The reason, respected friends, is many of us don't even realize that this is a waste of time. The hadith which I read in the khutbah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, min husnil islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Those things that don't concern you, it has no benefit to you. You leave it out, this beautifies your deen. It is like this mihrab that we see in front of us. When it is tiled nicely, when it has nice color to it, when it looks nice, then automatically, by the finishes that it has, it beautifies it. Like that our houses, if there's no finishes inside, it's only a shell, then it doesn't look nice, it's not pleasing to the eye. But when the finishes are there, the tiling is done, the carpentry is done, the
paint is done, the painting is done nicely, then it pleases the eye. So like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that if you want your deen to be pleasing, then bring this quality in you, that those things that don't concern you, leave them out completely. Those players that are idolized, they won't pay 1 cent of a person's rent. And the time of maut, that players that he idolized, those players won't come and make talqeen of kalima for him. But that time that he sacrificed, that awabin that he missed, the tilawat of Quran that he missed in those times, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he sacrificed for the soccer matches, for those cricket matches, those things, respected friends, are those things that will normally accompany a person in the grave. But because he sacrificed it, he will lose it. On the other hand, a person makes sure that he uses this prime time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tilawat will accompany him in the qabr. His salat will accompany him in the qabr. Those ibadat and those zikr that he made is a means of nur for him in the dunya and a means of remembrance for him in the skies. All these things will benefit him. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Pak mentions that it came a time when he addressed his father and he told his father that why are you worshipping something? قَالَ يَا أَبْتِ لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. Why are you worshipping something that cannot see, that cannot hear? وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. It cannot benefit you at all. In other words, why are you wasting time with something that can't benefit you? Then we know it's a long story. Then his father told him that if you do not stop, and if you do not stop taking us away, he said, قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Are you trying to persuade us, take us away from those things that we worship? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرُجُمَنَّكَ وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيَّا. That we will stone you and we will alienate you from here. We will get rid of you. Then what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said is something for us all to remember, inshallah. He said, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. That I separate myself from you and what you call out and what you worship. What those things that you worship, and I separate myself from you, meaning that I don't only stay away from your worship, I stay away from you completely. How difficult it is for one to separate himself from his parents, from his father. But he separated this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he separated. Allah Pak mentions, فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَهَبَنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. When he left this, he left his father, he left his people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did we give him in return? وَهَبَّنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. When the usul, when his ascendants did not accept what he had to say, Allah said, we blessed him with two nabis. We blessed him in his progeny. وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. We blessed him with Ishaq and Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. Both of them, Allah Pak said, we had made them nabis. And not only that, Allah Pak had blessed him with the Banu Ismail. And from the Banu Ismail was Sayyidul Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was from that progeny. He was given this in return for sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Banu Israel was also to his credit. Then Allah Pak said, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. The thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him and Allah Pak had blessed him was لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. That his name was made as a hallmark, as a benchmark. وَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. That if you want any SABS standard, you want any ISO standard, then that standard that has to be followed is the standard set by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What a beautiful return Allah had given him for sacrificing and living for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in conclusion, my time is up, respected friends. It is not a difficult thing. A person knows that if I give up with this niyat, he makes this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave up those horses for the sake of Allah. Allah had blessed him with so many ni'mats as we mentioned. Then we mentioned the waqia of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gave up his hands for the sake of Allah. Allah had given him wings in Jannat. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had given up his father and his family for the sake of Allah. Allah had blessed him with the progeny of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And to the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak had made him such that his name is taken very highly. He has become a standard for everyone to follow. Even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we remember him in tashahud. Every time we make tashahud, we take the name of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. One has to analyze the whole of Hajj. The name of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the remembrance of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, he would say that we follow the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hanifa. He was not tilted, he was not persuaded, he was not drifting, he did not drift from his mission. What he was set out to do, that's what he did. So respected friends and elders, now that we know that the sport wastes so much of our time, how can we still kill time by following sport? If a person makes this niyat, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving this up for your sake. I'm giving this following of Champions League for your sake. Ya Allah, you make me a champion on the day of Qiyamah. You think Allah Pak won't make that person a champion? Ya Allah, I'm giving up Premier League soccer for your sake. Make me amongst your premiers on the day of Qiyamah, amongst the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and Salihin. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept his dua for giving this up? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving up test cricket for your sake. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from the test of the qabr. Person makes this dua, you think Allah Pak won't bless him? So respected friends, it requires courage from our side. This is something that is eating up the time of the ummah. The ummah does not realize how much of time is getting wasted in sport, on commentary of the sport, following it, talking it, discussing it, and absolutely no benefit. The only thing a person will get is regret at the time of death and regret in akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.